Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We have a very special guest, a dear friend, a real gift to our ministry, Truman Blocker. We welcome you today.
Thank you, Joel. Danielle, it's a joy to be here with you again.
It is ours. Our ministry, For His Glory, is just that. It is for His glory. And we'll be teaching today on one of the topics in the part two of The Deeper Things, helping you understand the book of Esther. Now, please remember, our ministry is to help bring you the deeper understanding of God, the deeper things, period, from Genesis to Revelation through Hebrew eyes. I am a Messianic Jew. We start our Bible studies as young men, and we continue throughout our whole life. So we want to share the gift that God has given us, because freely given, freely give. Now, to the book of Esther. What's one of the things that we commonly hear as a complaint about the book of Esther?
Well, Joel, we hear that the book of Esther should not be included in the Bible because the name of God is not mentioned in it.
The name of God's not in the book of Esther?
That's what we're told.
It's not in the book of Esther in English, that's for sure. Well, maybe it's in the original. Maybe it's in Hebrew.
Is it in the Hebrew? No.
Oh, it's not in the Hebrew either.
No.
That's true. That's why in the ancient times, Jewish sages got together and they had councils debating if this book should be canonical or part of the canon, part of Scripture. And there have been some debates about that over time. However, we have to recognize something. What is the very title of the book of Esther?
Esther.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, that must mean
something.
It must mean something. We look up that Hebrew word Esther, and it means
I will be hidden.
Ooh, that's right. And who's the speaker?
God is.
God is the speaker. And what is he telling us in the very title of the book?
He's hidden there.
He's hidden there. So if you don't see him, then he's obviously doing just what he said, right?
Right, exactly.
Now, if he's hidden, does that mean he's not there?
No, it means he's there. We just can't see him.
He means he's hidden.
Right.
So he's hidden from us, but working for us.
Right.
All right? Because he says, I will be hidden. Now, if we examine it carefully, what do we find? Brother Truman, we find the name of God listed how many times there?
Five times.
Not just once. Once would be more than enough to satisfy the complaint. It's listed how many times?
Five times.
Wait a minute, I thought we just said it's not there in the English or the Hebrew, so how do we get, where do we get this from? We must be using another type of methodology. What is the methodology we've used in study? Although this is somebody else's research, we have validated this in our own. What is it that we find that someone has, in a very gifted way, came to this discovery for the world of the Bible studies?
Well, Joel, as you've taught in earlier studies, there have been many searches in the Scriptures at a much deeper level.
Yes.
The SOD, as you've called it, one of the four levels of study. And I guess for centuries, Jewish scholars, Hebrew scholars, have been searching the Torah and the Tanakh for the hidden meanings. In fact, this has been going on for millennia, searching the Scriptures. And as you know, Joel, of course, you and Danielle and I have had the privilege of studying Bible codes together. In recent years, there's been a tremendous amount of interest in searching through the Scriptures for various messages called ELS sequences, which stands for equidistant letter sequences.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've been blessed to find the name of Jesus many places in the Bible. Especially where we knew we would find him anyway. There's a tremendous amount of research going on, ranging from just simple people searching for things in the Bible, but also we've had the privilege of developing quite a methodology, which we're holding other scholars to using in their search of the Scriptures
It's a good standard. Yes, Daniel.
And we knew we'd find Yeshua in Esther because he said he was hidden. So we had to look, and guess what? We found him five times.
He is where he says he'll be. We just have to have the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, this research, as I mentioned, was done by another. We've had the privilege to validate it, because we should all be checking each other's work. And we find the name of God listed in Esther in chapter 1, verse 20. Let me give you the references first. Everyone jot these down. Esther 1, 20. Chapter 5, verse 4. The next one is in chapter 5, verse 13. Esther 7, 7, and then Esther 7, 5. In 7, that's, now let's take those first. All right, chapter 1, verse 20, chapter 5, verse 4, chapter 5, verse 13, chapter 7, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 5. We also find a name, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew. In chapter 4, verse 17, we find the term Messiah in chapter 1, verse 3. And we find an interesting expression in chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, which in Hebrew is Haman v'Satan Reach. And that's translated Haman and Satan smell. Or in a sense, Haman and Satan stinketh. All right? The King James English people could rarely be improved on in this case here. And that's every six letters, 10 times. And you find these letters, He, Mem, Nun, Sofit, Vav, Shin, Tet, Nun, Sofit, Resh, Yod, Chet. And all those letters come out of the text that are encoded in the text, but also just there as part of the plain read of the text. And it says Satan, it says Haman and Satan stink. So as we examine those carefully, I just want to highlight that point to all the listeners that God is there. Like Daniel said earlier, he said, I will be hidden. He's hidden from us, but he's working for us. And if you read carefully in the Torah, within the first five books, you'll find that's a prophetic fulfillment of a situation that due to our sins and our rebellion, God hid himself from us, which is just the understanding of what happens when we sin. This is one of the consequences of sin at a certain level. Now, there's a very interesting part I want to focus on with Daniel and Truman here in chapter 9, verses 6 to 13. And Truman's going to read in a moment chapter 9, verse 13, and we'll give the setup here where you find that at 6, and in Susa, the capital, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. And then you see a list of names of the 10 sons of Haman. Exactly. The 10 sons of Haman are also killed. So 500 people are killed, and who else is killed? The 10 sons of Haman. They're dead.
Right.
Now, with that in mind, let's be sensitive to what this queen, Esther, this Jewish queen, is saying following that. Truman?
Yes, it says here in verse 13 of chapter 9, Then Esther said, If it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows.
Wait a minute. Read that again.
Is that
and
deep?
Then Danielle has a question. Read that again.
That sounds awful strange because she's a queen,
right.
Somebody in
and
authority.
They're already dead.
Right. And they're already dead.
And
now she's asking to hang them tomorrow.
I'll read that again then. Let's make sure we all got this.
Okay, it says, Then Esther said, If it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows.
Wait a minute. What did you say, Danielle?
They're already dead, and the queen is asking for a hanging tomorrow.
What's wrong with hanging them?
Well, they're dead. So that gives us an idea that something is there for us.
Can't kill them twice, huh?
No, you can't really kill them twice.
Not going to hurt them anymore, is it?
No.
What does tomorrow mean? What is that concept here, then?
Tomorrow means in the future.
Oh, in the future. So actually, first we have to establish the fact that it really did happen.
They actually hung them
again?
So
they hung them again the next day, but everybody already knew they were dead.
Right.
So God's using a very graphic visual example to give us a prophetic picture of something in the future. So what does that tell us we better do then?
Well, it definitely shows us that there's something here that we should look into. There's something deeper hidden there.
Okay, so we better examine these verses then more carefully.
Right.
And in the ancient Jewish writings, in which people, we all know this was written in what language originally?
Hebrew.
Oh, Hebrew. Okay, so if we look at the names and we just read it, we find a very interesting phenomena that's very unique. Of the 10 sons of Haman, 3 of those names, all right, the first name, the 7th, and the 10th name, all have small letters in the original.
You mean in Hebrew letters?
Yes.
You're saying that three of the letters are tiny, smaller than
They're
the other
smaller
letters?
Smaller than they would normally be for themselves and smaller with respect to the others at a normal size.
So it's as if we were writing something on our computer and everything else is font 20 and these three letters are font 5.
They're smaller. They're noticeably smaller.
Noticeably.
Yet distinguishable.
Yes, and amazingly, yes, the scribes over the centuries, over the millennia, have preserved those shapes and sizes for us today.
Are they preserved faithfully in all Bibles?
No, they're not.
Why not?
Well,
somebody's changing the text.
Well, yeah. In actuality, they are changing the text.
Why would they do such a thing?
Well, I think that was done because they thought it might have been an error.
Or perhaps they thought it wasn't significant. They thought it was a scribal mistake.
What would be a reason they wouldn't think it's significant? It means they didn't do their studies then, did they?
Exactly.
Right.
Because had they known, they wouldn't have touched it, would they?
That's what God said, don't touch it.
Right. So if we were just obedient, we would have left it as is.
That's right.
Sometimes man tries to put their hands into things to, well, let me help out here and fix it because it's obviously not right. And we imprint it with our own mindset, and we do great damage to the transmission of sacred scripture, of a message that God himself wants to get to us there. But thank God for the faithful scribes. And also thank you both for being faithful and good students, as I pray we are too, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can understand and read and also share. Thank you, audience, for being faithful and listening to understand what God wanted to tell you and wrote in his book thousands of years ago, which we're communicating to you today. So three of those letters are smaller. And what did we say about this in an earlier show? That every letter is equivalent to a what?
A number.
Oh, a number. So like A is 1 and B is 2 and C is 3, but in Hebrew. So Aleph is
1,
1 and
Bet is 2,
Gimel
is 3,
exactly.
And so on.
So all the way through. So that's a standard set. Does that change or?
No, it's constant.
Always the same?
Yes.
So what happens? We take these three letters and change them into their equivalents, and it equals 707. But because it says tomorrow, the rabbi would supply a 5,000 in front of that. Now, why would they pick a number 5,000? It must mean something.
Something.
Why? Because there are 7 days to creation. A day is like a what?
A thousand years.
And a thousand years is then also like a day, right? So
right.
The equivalent. And so we see 7 days related to 7 ages and 7,000 years. And the last days of the 7 days is the Sabbath day, right? Shabbat. And that's a 1,000-year reign of Messiah, 1,000-year reign of peace for the believer, the first 7 being, of course, the tribulation period. So now what are we looking at? We say, wait a minute. Now get this, people. We'll follow carefully. The 6,000, all right, time period, right? We're entering into the 7,000 begins at what? 6,000 to 6,999.
Right.
So before the 6, it's 5,000 to 5,999. So that's a 5,000-year time period, which we call in eschatological terms the end of the last days. The last days, the latter day. So Esther is using very Hebrew thinking. Makes sense. She's a Hebrew. She's a Jew. All right?
Right.
So we got to have our Hebrew minds on. And all that's to say is that this pushes it to the last days, to, like Daniel said earlier, the future, what Truman read in the text before, hang them tomorrow. So we supply the concept, which is straight Hebrew thinking on this matter, of 5,000, and we get the year 5,707. Now, we can find that year in a calendar, right? That's something we can actually look up. But wait a minute. We're now in the year 2001. That sounds a little crazy. We have to convert it because we're dealing with what kind of calendar?
Hebrew calendar.
A Hebrew, right? A Jewish calendar. And we got to convert it into our calendar, right?
Right.
If you convert this, and math is great, it doesn't change. You convert the calendar, you end up in the year 1946. So wait a minute. Let's get some markers on a board because this is getting exciting. We have an event, and Daniel said earlier, what, they hung him tomorrow. It's not going to kill him anymore. She said it was a prophetic picture, right? How many sons of Haman?
10.
There's 10 sons. How are they going to be killed?
Hanging.
All right, so what do we got? Some facts. Well, let's be detectives, biblical, spiritual detectives. 10 sons, hanging. We got the actual year encoded in their names. 5,707, as we computed all the way through, is the year 1946. So let's be detectives. We got three pieces of evidence. The year 1946. There's some event with 10 people who are like the sons of Haman, and Haman was a Jew hater. Wow. What did he want to do? He wanted to wipe out all the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to coerce the head of the country, the king, and actually got a decree, which couldn't be changed, to mass murder, genocide, every single Jew. Now, who in our century, prior, in the 20th century, who do we have in our century who also wanted to kill all the Jews?
Hitler.
Oh, without question, he's the prime candidate, isn't he? Now, 1946, we just have come out of what war?
World War II.
Oh, World War II. And Hitler was a key figure in the
That's
war,
right.
Unfortunately. So we see an event, and if we look carefully, and you could do some further math, you'll end up, and we have several facts. We're looking for, there's a Jew hater who's trying to kill all the Jews worldwide, genocide.
Right.
But unfortunately, we call it today also ethnic cleansing. There's 10 men, and they're all going to be hung. All right, we have some facts here, so we do some newspaper searching. And we have searched, and it was given to me by another brother in the Lord. We have in front of us the New York Times, a copy from October 1946. Headline page. It says, Göring, that's Hermann Göring, ends life by poison. 10 others, wait a minute, how many?
10.
10 others hanged. They were hung. Wait a minute. Read that verse again in Esther, Truman, in chapter 9, verse 13.
Once again, then Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows.
My God. Haman is like Hitler.
Right.
10 sons, 10 of the same. Your
the
son like the father.
The convicted people at Nuremberg.
There were 11. Originally, there were 22. There were 11. But wait a minute. The Bible's accurate. When God says 11, it's not 10. Yes.
This is a trial for the what?
This is, let me read the whole title. Göring ends life by poison. 10 others hanged in Nuremberg prison for Nazi war crimes.
Wow.
Doomed men on gallows pray for Germany. So this answers the question, I believe. They were in Nuremberg, the famous or really infamous Nuremberg war trials at the end of World War II for crimes against humanity. Nazi war criminals. And this was Nazi war crime trial. Very famous in our century. So they were 22, and 2 hours before the final execution, there was 11. But the Bible prophesied how many?
10.
Oh, that's close. Is close good enough?
Nope.
Why not?
Because 10 is 10.
10 is 10. That's very right. Subtitle over here on the side, number 2, who is Hermann Göring. Number 2, commits suicide, right? 2 hours. In hours before execution time, Hermann Göring took cyanide and he killed himself. So 11 became?
10.
Oh, 10. And how many did the Bible say?
10.
Truman, read that verse again. This is too important.
This is deep, Joel. Then Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows.
That's quite a statement. There were 10 hung. Now, wait a minute. This is World War II. This is not the Wild West of the 1800s. How does a person normally, for a war crime, how does the punishment be normally administered?
What is
the
method? Firing squad.
Oh, firing squad. Standard procedure, wouldn't you think?
Definitely.
Would you think if the commander came out or on base or something said, well, let's hang him. Who got a lasso here? Who got the rope? That would be kind of strange, wouldn't it be?
Definitely.
I would think you'd be hard-pressed to find that anywhere in World War II. But here at a trial of Nuremberg, Nazi war criminals are hung? Could you imagine the discussions that went on instead of just normally, summarily firing squad procedure? Hang them? God said there'll be 10. They'll be hung. They are Jew haters. They're all trying to kill the Jews. And this is the way it'll be. And that's the way it was done. And it's the exact year that the Bible predicted, hidden in the names. That is stunning. People, that's only one prophecy.
Yes.
Of thousands in the Bible, yet to be mined and discovered and uncovered and recovered for God's glory and our good, and a testimony to many others. This is very convicting. You should have your unsaved friends listen to this show, because the Bible speaks clearly to the future, to the present, as well as the past.
And Joel, please explain to us the value of knowing numbers in the Bible. It's not numerology.
Yes.
God made numbers. Please explain that to us.
God made numbers. What happens today, it's a good question, that often when we look at things, and I've done this before, and I've repented of it too, we have to be careful about not throwing out everything with the bathwater, if you will. What happens is, if we look at chemistry today and biochemistry, we have to recognize that there's a falsification of it in a worldly system in which we call alchemy. Herbs are great. Some people use these in the old witchcraft type things for concoction and brews. So what do? Throw out all these herbs? No, because God made the herbs and they're medicinal, they're good, they're healing, and they're vital. And at least 70% of all our pharmacological agents come from an original base of herbs. Digitalis from foxglove, white willow bark for aspirin, and the list goes on for what's produced. Now, what about astrology? Now, astrology is railed against in the Bible, and the stars are not gods, nor to be worshipped as God, all right? But astronomy is a wonderful study and a gifting, and who made the stars?
God did.
Yes, Joel, as it says here in Psalms, Psalm 147, the early verses, verse 4, he counts the number. God, he counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name.
Well, he gives names to them, and he counts them. What do you need to do to count? You need numbers, don't you?
Yeah.
So that's significant. There's numbers, and there are names, aren't they? That's pretty intriguing.
It's just amazing to me, Joel, how deep each and every verse in our Bible is. And it encourages us not only to look at every word and every verse with a deeper meaning that God has put in there for us, but every letter, even the shapes of the letters, even the spacing between the letters.
Joel, looking at Esther, just seeing what we have found,
yeah,
using the knowledge that we have now about the way God wrote the Bible and numbers, look what we found. Is that not interesting? Isn't it wonderful to know that God told us what's going to happen in 1946?
That's a good point.
And what else is in this Bible that we should know? Should we not be delving into the deeper things of the Bible?
No question. I wonder
what else is there. God wrote this book. Isn't it awesome?
No question. We should be putting our time and energies into it, because then we would know the news long before it ends up on TV.
It is just amazing.
And we'd be able to walk right. And then we wouldn't be dependent on other people to tell us events, but just on God. That would be great. Thank you, Truman.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you, Danielle.
What a blessing to be here.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Lord.
And thank you all for joining us. And we say to you all,
Shalom.